God, we come to you. We thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. This morning, we thank you for Jesus, for giving him to us. God, we pray that as we read the words that he spoke this morning, that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that you would help us to see him and believe in him and love him and worship him and find our life in him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So we are, I think we could say now in the middle, we're several weeks into a series called Contemplating Christ. In fact, enough time has gone by that it bears a repetition. There are cards as you exit. Don't exit now, but as you exit later on, there are cards on the table next to the door. Grab a few, put them in your, whatever you carry with you with your stuff in it, diaper bag, purse, wallet. Have them with you as you go about life, and if an opportunity presents itself to invite someone, use the card. Say, hey, we're in the middle of this series. We're talking about Jesus. Come and come with us. So there are means to equip you to be able to invite other people to come with you on Sundays. So, as the name would suggest, we are contemplating Christ. We're holding up Jesus and looking at him, not Jesus appended to whatever topic we're talking about, the cross or the gospel or following him or salvation, but rather we are looking primarily and principally and almost solely at Christ through this series. And because what we believe is that as we look at Jesus more, we come to believe in him more, and we come to see him for who he truly is, and we come to love him, and something is lit up in our hearts, kind of like the disciples that were with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Remember what they said when Jesus left them and they realized who it was they'd been talking to, and he'd been explaining the Old Testament to them and showing himself to them in the Scripture. Remember what they said? So weren't our hearts, well, this is a paraphrase, lit up within us as he spoke? As we see Jesus, we come to know him, believe in him, and love him, and find life in him. So we are contemplating Christ. Where we start today is by looking not at Jesus, but at ourselves and at the reality that we kind of tend to, no one wants to admit it, but we kind of go through life a little bit lost, a little bit kind of, you know, like someone who isn't quite sure where they're going. And the reason we know that that's kind of how we go through life is because we always are looking for guidance. We always are needing guidance. That, okay, what should I do in this relationship? Should I push this person away? Should I let them in? Should I forgive? Or hey, have they done enough that I need to, you know, distance myself from them? What should I do with this job? Should I continue in this job that I really don't like? Should I find another job? What should I do? We need guidance. We need guidance when we make decisions. We're always asking other people, okay, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? We need people to speak into our lives, to give us counsel, to tell us, okay, who should I be and what should I do? And we end up listening to pretty much everybody. We listen to people close to us. We ask them for advice. Okay, what should I do? We make decisions based on what other people around us say and what they think and what we think they might think. If you've been around somebody for long enough, you know what they're going to say when you ask them something, right? So they actually can guide you without even saying anything, without you even talking to them. You just think what they're going to say, what they would answer to, what you would say, and you base your decision sometimes on that. We base our decisions and we look for guidance sometimes in music. Have you ever been listening to a song and thought, oh, that's exactly what I'm going through? That's what I should do. It doesn't matter who the person is who's singing it. It's just it connects with us. Oh, that might be what I should do. Sometimes we seek guidance on the radio, or on TV. Maybe somebody I don't know, somebody, you know, with one of the Dr. Phil or Oprah, or that's where we get our advice from, our guidance from. Maybe we get guidance from signs and dreams. And, you know, have you ever noticed when you're thinking about something and you're contemplating a decision, there seem to be signs everywhere, and you don't know how to interpret them. Does that mean that I should do this? I dreamed this last night. Does that mean that I should? We look for guidance everywhere. The problem is, our minds are open and we're looking for guidance everywhere, but we tend to not truly follow anyone. We listen to everybody, but we end up doing what we want to do. Have you ever noticed that? You ask 10 people for advice, and what do you end up doing? Well, whatever you wanted to do in the first place, you just want somebody to say, yeah, that's what you should do. You should just leave that job. Doesn't matter that you don't have another job. Doesn't matter that you don't have a way to pay rent. Just leave that job. You'll find something else. And 9 people can say, that's a horrible idea. But one person says, yeah, you should do that. We follow their advice. We listen to everybody, but we end up doing what we wanted to do in the first place. We look for justification and confirmation of what we wanted to do. And so because we listen to everybody, but we really only don't follow, truly follow anyone, we end up being free. No one tells us what to do. No one controls us. Only God can judge me. No one controls me. But we're free, but we're kind of lost. We make bad decisions. We do things. Our lives end up being littered with things that we look back on and say, ah, I wish I wouldn't have done it that way. That was a bad idea. We end up being kind of lost. And the solution to our lostness and the solution to our need for guidance is this. Listen, God speaks. God speaks. We're people who need to be guided. We're people who are kind of lost. God speaks. In fact, God has always spoken. Look at Hebrews. If you're new to this series, what we're doing in this series is we're jumping all over the Bible. So I've copied the scriptures we're going to read into my notes. If you are very fast on the draw, you'll be able to follow along. If not, you may want to jot down the scriptures and read them in their context later. Hebrews 1:1 says, long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. God speaks. He's a God who is never, who always communicates with His creation, with the people that He created. He speaks. Look at Psalms 19. He speaks through people. He also speaks through creation. Look at Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun. God speaks, whether it's through the voice of messengers or whether it's through creation. God communicates who He is and His will and His desires for us. God is a speaking God. And when we now turn to Jesus, what we see in Christ is that Jesus is the Word of God. God has always spoken. God always will speak. But in Jesus, we see the actual Word of God. It's when we look at Christ, it's easy to focus on what He did and look at Him as primarily someone who did things. He died on the cross. He performed miracles. He taught. He did a lot of things. And we look at that, and we look at the Gospels, even the first four books of the New Testament that record the life of Christ, and we look at what He did. But essential to what He did is who He was. He was the Word, the message of God. Look at Hebrews 1, verse 2. So flip back to verse 1. Long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. God always has spoken many ways, many times, many ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. Jesus is the most real communication from the Father to us. Jesus is the Word of God. He is God's message to us. Not bringing God's message. as much as he is God's message. Look at John. Look at how John starts out talking about Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in your Bible, the word is capitalized. Why? Because John is speaking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. He's described his essence, his identity is he's God's message, God's communication to us. Look a little farther down in John 1 in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God's message. Not like when Moses came down from the mountain holding the tablets on which were inscribed the message of God. Jesus himself is and was the message that God spoke to us. He is the Word of God. And so it should be no surprise that one of the primary activities that Jesus did as he was alive was what? He taught. He's the Word of God. God spoke through his Son. God speaks through Jesus. So what did Jesus do? He taught. One of his primary activities was teaching. Look at Matthew 7, verse 28. And when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes or their teachers. He taught. And then his followers, what did they do? They wrote down, his first followers wrote down his teachings and his life in the first four books of the New Testament, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He taught and he continues teaching God's Word. And as what we just read in Matthew 7 says, he taught with God's authority. The prophets would speak in the past, and some of the things that they said were them speaking. Some of the things they said were God speaking, but Jesus, everything he said was taught with God's authority. Look at Mark 9, verse 7, when Jesus is on top of the mountain, and Moses and Elijah are there with him, and Peter is wanting to give equal reverence to all three. And look at what God says. Look at the authority that he gives to his Son, and then the application of that authority. A cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. God says he's my Son. He is and brings you my message. So what is the application of that? Listen to him. Jesus taught. He taught with God's authority, with divine authority, different from everybody else that you and I can listen to, whether it's on television or in the music or someone we text with a question, different from everyone else in the world. Jesus has divine authority. What he spoke was the Word of God, and as such, it is full of and is the embodiment of everything Jesus taught of divine wisdom. See, some people have good advice some of the time. Jesus, everything he said was the divine wisdom from God. He was speaking directly from the Father. Look at John 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Farther on in John, Jesus directly reflects to us what the Father does and is and says. John 8, 28. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own authority, but look at, speak just as the Father taught me." Jesus spoke with divine wisdom. John 12, 49. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak." What Jesus taught and what he said was and is the divine words of God. Jesus came with God's message as the Word of God. So what was the message that he taught? What was the message? What was the heart of the message that he taught? You can't boil it down to one word, but you can boil it down to two words. John boiled it down to two words in the beginning. Look at John 1:14. the verse we already read, and pay attention to the second part of it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John said Jesus' message was a two-part message. It was grace and truth. And this was unique because some of us are good at the grace part, the love part, at the forgiveness part, at the compassion part. It's the parent that you go to when you've messed up because you know that they're going to hug you and say it's okay and cry with you. What you just naturally know, that's who I need to talk to when I've messed up. That's who I need to talk to. They're full of grace. And there's some people that are full of truth. They'll tell you how it is. They sometimes even harshly, they just tell you, that's the way it is. And they tell you that, and they're not the one you go to when you've messed up because you already know what the truth is. There's people who are full of truth, and there's people who are full of grace. And look at what John said. Jesus came full of grace and truth, full of love and grace and forgiveness and compassion, and full of truth and justice. That's a rare, unique combination to find in one person, is it not? That is the essence of Jesus' message. John then repeats it a little bit later in the same chapter. And whenever something is repeated in the Bible, it's repeated for a reason. So the very same words are used. Look at John 1, 16 through 17. For from His fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Those two words sum up everything that Jesus did in His ministry. Think about it. He was always offering love and grace and at the same time truth. Love and justice at the same time. So think of the woman caught in adultery. Remember the story? Jesus is teaching and He's in a group of people and a woman is thrown into their midst. Someone who's caught in adultery, she's being humiliated in that moment. And what does Jesus do? He offers her grace and He offers her truth. So read John 8, start in verse 10. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." So what would that be? Grace or truth? Grace, right? She deserved death. And He said, I don't condemn you. Grace. And then look at the next words. From now on, sin no more. Truth. The Father expects you to turn from your rebellion and turn to Him. Grace and truth at the same time. Jesus would say the truth to the religious leaders, wouldn't he? He would say, "You're far from God." And He would say it very harshly, using words that if we translated them into our modern vernacular, you would say, "Don't talk like that when you're preaching. That's not nice. That's not..." He would use very harsh words to tell the religious leader, "You are far from God and you're taking other people far from God." That's my paraphrase, but that was the essence of it. Truth. And then what would he would offer to the sinners and to the people far from God? Love and compassion and grace. And even as He offered that to the people far from God, He would also bring them truth as well. It wasn't love and compassion and grace and you're okay and I'm going to hug you and everything's good. It was love and compassion and grace and the Father will love you, but you need to turn from your rebellion and turn to the Father. Jesus was full of grace and truth. In His most, the pinnacle of what He did on earth, we see grace and truth. In the cross, we see love, for God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. We see the love of God, Jesus taking our place, dying for us, sacrificing Himself for us. We see the love of the Father, and we also see the justice, the truth, the justice of the Father poured out, the wrath of the Father poured out on the Son as Jesus was slaughtered and tortured. We see the justice of God poured out on Him. In the cross, we see grace and truth. That was the essence of Jesus' message. He also, as he lived, He showed us who God is, what God is like, what the Father is like. See, God is invisible, and even though creation talks about Him, and even though in the Old Testament we see what God is like, Jesus came as a living representation, as if to say, this is who God is. In fact, that's what He said. Look at John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. Jesus came to make God known. He's the Word of God, and part of His message was to show us what God is like. Look at John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus came to show us what God was like. And as we look at His life and as we look at who He was, we're seeing what God is like and who God is. And Jesus came to announce the coming of the kingdom of God. In everything that He taught, you can see the themes of grace and truth, and you can see what God was like by looking at Him. But the message that He actually said over and over and over again, the one sermon that He had that He kept going back to, was the kingdom of God is coming. Turn away from your rebellion and return to God. Enter into the kingdom of God. Submit yourselves to the Father. That was the main message of Jesus. Look at Luke 8, verse 1. Soon afterward, He went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. See, from the time that Adam and Eve rebelled and against God and wanted to be God, and since then, every other person has rebelled against God, and with that rebellion against God, the world broke, and all sin and destruction and pain and hurt came into the world. All the badness that comes from rebelling against the Father entered into the world. God has always said, I will restore my reign over the world. I will restore my reign over the world at some point in the future. And so the people of Israel were God's, they were to be a light to the nations to show what it looked like when God was reigning over a people. But there always was the promise that at some point God's kingdom would be restored. God's kingdom would be restored. What happened in the garden with Adam and Eve would be undone, and God would redo things, and He would rule and reign over the world. The kingdom of God would come, and all pain and suffering and sorrow would be taken away. And then Jesus came, and what was His message? The kingdom of God is at hand. God's kingdom is coming. It's at the door. It's here, but it's not completely here yet. It's coming. God's kingdom is coming. That was His message. Look at Luke 9, verse 2, when He sent out those 12 who were with Him earlier as He went around saying that the kingdom of God was coming. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. That was His message. Look at Matthew 3, 2. His message was, the kingdom, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. In other words, turn from you being the boss of your own life and return to submission to God. His kingdom is at hand. His kingdom is here. Jesus was the Word of God, is the Word of God, bringing the message of who God is and what God is doing in the world. And He still communicates. He is still the Word of God. If you read the thing in Hebrews that we read at the beginning, Hebrews 1, 2, 1, 1 and 2, it's kind of open-ended. It wasn't that he says, well, God spoke through the prophets in the past, and then He spoke through His Son, and now, how does He speak? No, it was open-ended. It was He spoke through the prophets, and now He speaks through His Son. Jesus communicated God's message. He was the Word of God while He was alive on earth. He still is the Word of God, and through Jesus, God still communicates His message to us. How does He do it? Well, He does it through the Gospels. Does He not? As we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we look at Jesus' life and listen to His words, the Word of God is still communicating the message of God with us today, even though we weren't there live listening to it. That's why John wrote his gospel, and I think that's why everyone else wrote their gospels. Look at John 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. We listen to Jesus when we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the more that we read the Gospels, the more that we hear Jesus. So if you say, I've read those four books, wonderful. Read them again. Then read them again. And then read them again. the most meaningful time in personally in my Bible study life was it was several months when I said, I'm just going to read John over and over and over and over and over, Big John, the Gospel of John. I'm going to read John over and over and over and over and over and over again until God tells me to go on to something else. So I just read it, and maybe God told me to go on to something else and I didn't get the message, but I just kept reading. It was months went by. That was all that I read. And there were times where it was like, oh, it's kind of boring now. I know what's going to happen. I know the end of this story. But then there were other times when I'd keep reading, and it would be like a flower that, you know, the rose petal, the petals are all, you know, in, and then it starts opening up, and it would open up again, and I would see things that I hadn't seen the first several times that I had read the book. The more that we read the Gospels, the more that we listen to Jesus, and it's not just the Gospels. Jesus speaks through all of the Bible. Look at 2 Timothy 3. I think that's the message in what Paul is saying here, because he uses the word all. Look, listen, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God talks to us. The Word of God talks to us. The Word of God, Jesus, speaks to us. The Spirit of the Word of God, the Spirit of Jesus, speaks to us as we read all of the Bible that He inspired. Hebrews 4:12 talks about what He does when we read His Word. For the Word of God is living and active. That's why you can read the same thing over and over again and see things that are different. It was there all along. But it's living and active. He talks to you when you read. Living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He cuts us open. He lays us bare as we read His Word. The more that we read the Bible, the more that we listen to Jesus. Jesus speaks to us even today through the Gospels, through the entire Bible, and He speaks to us through His Spirit. One of the main reasons that Jesus gave for the future giving of the Spirit, He said, I'm going to give My Spirit, and one of the main reasons that He said He was going to give His Spirit to dwell in His followers was to connect them to Himself so that He could communicate with His followers. Look at John 16, verse 12. Tell me this is not what He's saying in these words. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Jesus sent His Spirit to dwell in His followers so that He could speak to us through His Spirit. And so when we follow the guidance of the Spirit, like Galatians 5 talks about, Romans 8 talks about, we're following the guidance of Jesus. When we listen to the Spirit, like Romans 8 says, we're listening to Jesus through His Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. So if Jesus is the Word of God, if He's God's message to us, practically speaking, what should we do? We should pay attention to Him. Now, let me break that down. We should pay attention to Him. How do we pay attention to Him? By listening to Him, but by receiving what He says, by obeying what He says. So we listen to Him. We pay attention to Jesus when we listen to Him, when we read the Bible, when we're in tune with the Spirit and we don't quench the Spirit and we follow the Spirit, when we read the Gospels and we read the rest of the Bible. The more that we read and that we pray as we're reading and we meditate on what we've read, the more that we ask ourselves as we're reading, okay, what did I just read? What did it say? What should I do? The more that we think about what we read, the more we listen to Jesus. And then it's not enough just to listen, as James 1 would have us believe. It's not just enough to listen. We have to receive it. We have to assign divine authority to it. Too many times we read the Bible and we say, well, that's a good idea. And we put it in the same category as the advice that we get from our parents and our friends and our friend at school and this other person over here. And then we watch Oprah on TV, and it's all kind of the same category. And we receive it by assigning divine authority to it. They're saying, okay, all this other stuff is over here. When Jesus says something, that's God talking. And this is the hard one, we pay attention to the Word of God when we obey it, when we do what He says, when we listen and we say, that's God talking, and then we change. Look at Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus had just gone on a long teaching time, and then He ends it with this: everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We have to obey what Jesus says. It's not enough to read the Bible and say, I read the Bible, check. We have to say, okay, what am I supposed to do with what I just heard Jesus say? What do you want me to change, Jesus? Spirit, what am I supposed to do because of what I just read? We have to do something. We have to obey. So if Jesus is the Word of God and we should pay attention to Him by listening and receiving and obeying, what's your next step? What do you need to do? See, I'm asking myself the same question. I'm saying you, but I'm saying us. What do you need to do to listen to the Word of God, to let Jesus speak to you? Let me break it down really, really practically. For some of us, you say, I read the Bible when I go to church on Sunday, and it's kind of read together with me. Okay, what you need to do is find a time every day where you read the Bible and listen to Jesus and let Him speak to you. For others, you say, I do that. I'm good. Well, how can you listen to Jesus more? How can you listen to Jesus more? Do you read in the morning? Could you read at night before you go to bed? Could you take 15 minutes away from the TV before you fall asleep and let Jesus speak more into your life? Maybe you do that. Maybe you say, okay, I have lunch. I could read while I'm at lunch. How could you let Jesus speak to you more than you do right now? And as you read, can you start asking yourself the question, what did it say? Because it's so easy to read and close it and say, oh, that was good. No, what did it say? What said, okay, what should I do? What did it say? What should I do? What do you need to do to let Jesus speak more into your life? And this is the hard question, and I apologize for asking it in advance. What has Jesus already told you that you haven't done? What has Jesus told you that you still haven't done? Maybe for you, that's making the decision to follow Him. And you know that He wants you to repent and be baptized and follow Him. And you haven't done it yet. And Jesus has told you that through His Word. That's what you need to do. And this community, obeying Jesus in that way is as simple as telling someone, I'm ready to make my decision, and you can repent and be baptized. What's keeping you from doing that? Maybe for you, that's not what Jesus has told you. Maybe you've already done that, but there's something else that you've read and you know in your mind. Every time you think about it, it's like, oh, I need to do that. I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to leave that sin. I'm supposed to start that project. I'm supposed to do that. I'm supposed to talk to that person. I'm supposed to do that. And every time you read the Bible, it's just like it's talking about that. What is that thing for you? What is it? I would challenge you this morning. Decide that you will obey Jesus. Obey what He's already told you. Do what He said. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together. As we obey Jesus, as we listen to Him, as we receive Him as being the Word of God, we end up finding what we most need in life. We find divine guidance. God speaks to us and guides us through life. Let us be a people that listens to Jesus. Jesus, we come to you this morning and we are reminded once again that you are God's word. And when you speak, God is speaking. So Jesus, we humbly submit ourselves to you again. We ask that you would, every day, Spirit, prick our hearts and make us, remind us to read the Bible. And as we do, show us what we need to change. And I pray, God, that you, through your Spirit, would give us the ability to say yes and obey you as you speak to us through your word. Let us be a people who listen to you, Jesus, because you are God. And we confess together you are God's word to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.